Hey everyone, this is Jordan Lopez, voice of McKenna Thorne. Welcome to The Hidden People. We're telling an ongoing story, so if this is your first time listening, please make sure to start from the first episode. Trust me. If you like the show, we'd be honored if you visited us on Patreon at patreon.com/hiddenpeoplepodcast. For as little as $2 a month, you can be our heroes and help us to keep the story going. In return, we'll give you the inside scoop, bonus episodes, member-exclusive merchandise, and more. After that, hop on over to Apple Podcasts to rate and review the show. Thanks for your support and enjoy The Hidden People.
The Hidden People contains mature language, content, and themes. Please listen with care. McKenna Thorne. An adult who refuses to take responsibility. While her brother conducts himself at their parents' funeral, she runs. Runs from her duties, runs from her family, runs from her emptiness.
Yes, thank you again for coming. It's good to see you. Thank you so much. Yes, quite a shock. Such a tragedy. McKenna isn't feeling well. You understand. Taking it hard. Yes, I'll let her know. No, she's just...
Ah, the smell of books and coffee. There's something special about the way they blend together in the air, but damage each other if they ever physically touch. Speaking of ruining everything they touch. That's all right, McKenna. It's completely reasonable to run straight to the children's section on the day of your parents' funeral. When you're 27, who could resist those deflated beanbag chairs? Do you even know how many snotty germ factories have caressed the faux fur on that read and feel picture book? I wonder if you would even care. I wonder what it would take to make you care about anything.
How long can I reasonably hide here?
In this world, my dear, you can't hide anywhere for long. Dayton Riders Movement presents The Hidden People, starring Jordan Lopez, Stephen Gogol, Sean Gunther, Xander Hildenbrandt, Emily Kallenberg, Stephen Kallenberg, and Luna Madison. Season 1, Episode 5, Helvegan. Written by Alexa Fett Fisher. Directed by Chris and Megan Burnside. Also starring Darlene Spencer and Norb Wessels.
Thank you again for coming all this way. It means so much.
Ah,
I feel like I've just been saying the same three things over and over again.
That's pretty much par for the course at funerals. It's been a long day for you, and everyone who matters understands that.
Thomas!
Alfie, Nyssa, did you find McKenna?
No, we hoped she'd come straight to the cemetery, but looks like she didn't.
We let ourselves into your parents' house with a spare key, but she wasn't there.
And she still hasn't called you back?
Mm-mm. Her phone is either off or no bars. Everything goes straight to voicemail.
Where the hell is she? Sam, could she have been...
I think it's too soon to jump to conclusions.
But our parents' killer has the address. My dad's pictures. They could have gone after McKenna.
That's... possible. But very unlikely. I'm sure wherever she is safe. Let me go make a few calls. I'll check with the officer who's been keeping an eye on the house. We'll find her.
I should have made her come with me. Should be out there looking for her, but...
You have to finish up with the funeral home, and the priest, and the last of the well-wishers. Take care of things here, Thomas. We'll keep looking for her.
Go-go gadget tracking device!
I'm so exhausted from the funeral, and now McKenna might be... Thank you both so much.
We're not really huggers, Thomas.
No, let them have this one.
Ron, I need an APB on McKenna Thorne. Last seen sometime last night. Method of travel unknown, but possibly on bike or on foot. Have whatever officers that were staking out the Thorne residence in the last 12 hours report in and... have someone check the bus and metro stations. No physical description of possible abductors. I'm not ruling out that she left on her own. Regardless, we need to find her.
We need to find her, Alfie.
Well, clearly, but where do we start? She could be anywhere. The coffee shop, the library, the space museum, the void of space.
Her bike was still at her house, so she didn't get too far. This is Mac. She runs, either from something or nothing. She's distracted, brain someplace else. She's not paying attention, and neither is the guy in his imported sports car's Eclipser, and she's in a ditch. Shit, she's in a ditch!
She's probably not in a ditch, Nyssa. She's just in a dark place right now, you know? Like, a closet. A closet in the 90s. Lots of grunge. And plaid. Oh, she's possessed by the ghost of Kurt Cobain!
You're making it worse.
All apologies.
Ugh. Right. Focus. We checked her house. She could be anywhere.
We could hit the pavement, check all her regular haunts.
It's the 21st century. I'm hacking her phone.
Oh, taking the anagram of your name a bit seriously, aren't you, is NSA?
I'll need my computer. Let's go.
A voice from your past, McKenna. Coincidence?
Enya? Enya! My sweet Enya!
Nanny Karen, what are you?
Nanny Karen is the beloved childhood babysitter of our embroiled protagonist. Well, beloved to McKenna, anyway. Most people would use the euphemism eccentric to politely describe her particular brand of lunacy. So loony, in fact, that she's the only adult to have ever chosen McKenna over Perfect Thomas as the favorite thorn in their side.
Dear girl, sweet child, my poor Enya. Such pain to lose so suddenly your mom and da.
But why did you... how did you...
The wake, my dove, the wake. Missing is such a troubled time. I set afoot as soon as I saw you were not where others thought you'd be.
Troubled? It's not... It's really not like that, Nanny Karen.
You forget that I have witnessed since you were small your tics, your tells, your twitches, too. I recognize them all. Your tired eyes, your wrinkled brow, a concerned mind's carding call.
Calling card, Nanny. You still get your idioms mixed up. And you had me doing it until fourth grade.
Bah. Language is a dance, my dear, with room to improvise. Those teachers only sought to limit your words, thereby limiting your mind.
You didn't do my English grades any favors. I'm miss hearing your voice. I'm missing you all the time. Coming here to read.
And here is where you fled in hopes to find a return to that childhood time. Here with me, when you thrived, and a time when your parents lived.
I ran, Nanny Karen. I couldn't make myself go to the funeral. Couldn't even try. The moment I stepped out the door, I was running away.
My young Enya was always as fleet of foot as a wood nymph. It shouldn't shock you that you scatter at the first sign of danger, even now. Even if the predator you premonite is in your own psyche.
Ugh. While listening to her is excruciating, I'm afraid we must all suffer through this reunion together. To understand what's really going on in the mind of McKenna Thorne, we need to listen as she shares with one of the only people she trusts.
It's not danger or a flight or fight response, I think. Everything considered, I'm doing all right, really. Well, no, I mean, given the situation, it's not as bad as it could be. I'm not saying this right.
You and I have always observed the world for what it is. Say what it is, Enya, without what others think it should be.
Everything's just been awful, but not in the way I expected. I keep thinking about it, trying to understand what happened, that I'll never see my parents again, never talk to them. I'm an orphan now, and everything that I expected of my life will be different, but...
Denial, Enya? That is grief's way.
No, not denial. I've accepted that they're gone. I just can't bring myself to care.
That's messed up.
Well, it's a messed up situation.
Yeah, but this just feels skeevy. Whoa, that was way too easy. Has this, happened before?
Are you accusing me of regularly hacking into smartphone GPS tracking data in order to pinpoint the location of a person or persons unknown to an accuracy of 5 meters?
No. I'm asking if the tab labeled Max Cloud was original content or DLC for EA Presents Hacktivist 19.
I have superpowers. I use them for good. And yes, spying on my friend aligns a bit closer to chaotic than lawful good. But if you haven't had nightmares about something happening to Mac when you could have known something or done something—
I get it. The ends justify the means. You don't happen to have a file labeled Alfie's Deepest Darkest Secrets, do you?
No.
Of course. Not that I have any deep, dark—
That's a whole hard drive. Here, it looks like Mac's phone battery died around 10:15 while she was on 3rd Street.
Okay, that's a place to start, I guess.
Let's see. If I add up all our other location info up to the untimely battery death, we can see which way she was heading.
Ooh, connect the dots. Maybe she drew a picture with her route, spelled out, "Help me," or "Back off, Nyssa."
Or she went in a straight line for 20 blocks.
Oh, well, that just spells I.
And gives us a good lead. Come on, Alfie.
Nanny Karen, how did you find me? I mean, this wasn't a coincidence, right?
I sought you out as soon as I saw you skip the service. And here is where I hoped your retreat would end. Perhaps a bit self-indulgent to think, but I imagined this as your refuge.
You were the first person to bring me to Beans and Books, weren't you? Mom and Dad preferred taking Thomas to the sporting goods store, but you dragged us all the way out here at least once a week. Thomas always complained that it smelled like ash and old people, but you never listened, and I loved it. And now it's just this microbrew bullshit. Sorry.
To grow and change is mortal, and cannot be stopped any more than the seasons. People and things shift as they must in this world.
Still dull doesn't mean changes are for the better.
It's not just the change here you resent, is it? You warily eye the change in yourself.
Sure, I've changed. I mean, changing from the girl you babysat every week makes sense, but recently I've been feeling even further from myself. Sometimes it's like I don't even recognize my face. Like I'm not really me, or I don't even know who that is.
And so you absconded from the funeral, thinking those prideful eyes would question who you are as well. And what answer would you give to such small minds?
I already know our family looks at me like I don't belong. The expected thing, the normal thing, would be to show up, have a good cry in front of everyone, and give my parents proper respect. But I can't even do that. I can't bring myself to fake the proper part and emote what I'm not. I'm such a shitty daughter, I can't even do that for them, and they're gone.
Ron, hold up a second.
Sam, you're back.
Surveillance officers report in yet?
Everyone in the Thorn disappearance just walked into the briefing room for the, briefing. I caught DeMarcos on the way in. He said he saw the screen door slam around 1000, but no McKenna. Thought it might have just been the wind.
Not particularly windy today.
Just the wind. Might as well say it was ghosts or aliens, DeMarcos.
And the points of exit monitoring?
If she left, it wasn't by plane, train, or automobile. Aren't we getting a bit too worked up too early about this? I mean, it's been, what, 7 hours since she was last seen? We don't even open anything on teen runaways this soon.
Teen runaways are called in by their parents. They don't have open investigations into the murder of their parents, Ron.
Probably just needed time to process. Poor kid.
Kid? Ron, she's a year older than me. Don't let her immaturity fool you. She knows more than she's letting on. Something spooked her, and until we know the whole truth, we can't afford to lose her.
You're going pretty gung-ho on a non-lead, boss. It's not like she's a genuine suspect or anything. I mean, sure, no real alibi. But her life looked pretty cushy living in her parents' basement. And unless we find out that she has a collection of giant spears and a litter of rabid wolves at her beck and call, I don't see how she could have possibly butchered her parents in cold blood.
Oh, not wolves exactly. And a bit bitier than your average litter.
I'm not saying she did, but I know what I saw in that interview room. Everyone coddles her.
Maybe they just know her better than we do. Which tracks, considering I just met her. We're not even to the level of just met and now we're awkwardly social media friends.
Please never befriend the family of victims on social media.
Like going forward? Kidding! You get my point?
Sure. But what exactly do they know about her that makes them so defensive? To me, she looks like she can more than handle herself.
She seems kinda mentally fragile to me. Maybe they just don't want her to get pushed too hard.
Pushing might end up being the only way I'm gonna find out what she knows. And she does know something wrong.
If you say so, boss. Hey, we'll need to hurry if we want to get a muffin in the briefing room. Those rookies eat like animals, even when it's low-sugar almond flour pastries.
You are a rookie.
By we, I mostly mean you. I've already had 2 muffins.
Okay, city block numero uno, scoured. Can we take a break now? I'm pretty sure my endurance stat is modified to be encumbered. Sans encumberment.
Seriously, it's been 10 minutes and you started complaining after 5. We can keep going.
Are we really gonna go into every store on Mac's route? We already know she passed all these without stopping.
Yes, we are. What if she doubled back after her phone died? What if someone saw which way she was going? There are a million tiny variables to account for, and without enough data, we could run off in the wrong direction or miss something that could lead us to her, or that would tell us she's in genuine danger right now.
Nissa, your Millennium Falcon brain has made the jump to light speed.
Right. No. She's fine. But the answers are here, and we are going to turn this street upside down looking for any inkling of our friend, because it is the day of her murdered parents' funeral, and she is missing. If there is a tiny thing we miss, we could have seen but didn't because we thought it was too small to make a difference.
Nissa.
Something's wrong, Alfie. Not with Mac, but with her life. Her parents, the way she's been acting, and now this? It's all pieces that don't fit together yet.
Mac's always lived in her own mental fortress of solitude. That's just part of the Mac Pack unhappy meal. And yeah, she has been isolating herself more than usual since her parents died, but couldn't that be normal? I mean, it's not like she's actually in danger now, right?
God, I hope not. But I just have this feeling, this dread that it's only going to get worse for her. Especially with Detective Withhold's a lawyer suspecting her.
So are we worried about the killer or the cops?
Both. The killer could be after her and we know Sam is suspicious.
Maybe there just aren't a lot of leads and Mac's the closest straw to grasp at. Anyone who actually thinks McKenna could be involved is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Or has a stick up her ass with a total disregard for Miranda rights.
Nissa, with your smarts and my plucky determination, we'll prove it to the rest of the world in a dramatic 11th hour reveal and save the day.
Yes, we can. And we will. But priorities. We need to find McKenna first. Then find out who killed her parents. If the cops can't, we will.
Saving the day like big damn heroes.
Don't throw yourself a parade just yet. We're still on step one. Find Mac.
Oh, the bookstore confessional continues. McKenna, have you ever wondered why it's only easy to open up to fellow outcasts? If so, you're asking the wrong question.
The change you feel in you, can you describe it? What is it that has you so skittish?
Nanny, you know I've always been different. Acted different than Thomas, different than what my parents expected. I'm used to it, I guess. Especially after the doctor saying I'm lacking whatever neurotransmitter they can sell me in pill form. But feeling like this after something so horrible, is something more wrong with me? Something the doctors missed or the meds caused?
Don't be afraid. Put a name to it. Say it out loud and face what fears you.
I think I'm insane. Psycho, socio, whatever prefix to path you want to put on it. My parents are dead, and yeah, they weren't perfect, but I should care, right? I should be upset or worried about my future, at least. It would make sense if I even felt relieved that I couldn't let them down anymore, but it's like it doesn't matter. Like something that's happening to someone else, and I'm just watching the reflection of someone else's tragedy.
Do others know you feel this way?
I haven't said that to anyone, but they'll know. Thomas, my friends, even the cops know there's something wrong with me, with the way I'm reacting to this. Maybe they're trying to assume the best, that I'm in denial and it will hit me eventually, but they can't think that forever.
Police, Enya.
Yeah, the cop investigating, she's a friend of Thomas's, and I don't know, just the way she looks at me. Things she asks.
Interrogation.
She suspects something, that I did something or know something.
You must be wary lest you be overcome. They will use their power to convince others of your guilt. Beware anyone whose power cannot be questioned.
I wouldn't go that far, Nanny. Sam is determined, but to find the truth, the genuine truth, not just what would be the easiest truth. She just gets on my nerves with how pushy she's being.
Enya, as long as I've known you, you've never strayed. You've held steadfast in your sphere. See, in the same scape since time infinitum. Perhaps your mind has finally grown bored of it. Perhaps things that don't make sense here would make sense elsewhere. far elsewhere.
I've fantasized about it more than once, quitting my job and leaving everything and everyone, but it all seems pointless. Just thinking about the effort it would take to leave, to try to explain why, to even begin looking for something else, it exhausts me. Sure, my job is dead-end work that pays peanuts, but it's something to do with people who care about me, and I'd rather not rock the boat.
Are they just more livestock, following the herd of expectation rather than care for the solo sheep? And those who care, what would they say about how you feel now? Where were they when you fled what you could not face?
Nissa and Elfie care. God knows I'm not worth the effort, but they put it in anyway. Maybe I'm just a pet project for them, a fixer-upper for them to flip and sell. But if they'll stick around through this, I don't know what could ever drive them away. Maybe if I actually end up being a haunted house.
You are not an abode, my dear. The only foundations that hold you here are the ones you let keep you. You are a kite. You can sail on the wind to the edges of existence that no human has ever seen. Don't let small people keep you from realizing that this world is bigger than they believe it is.
I know how big the world is. I just prefer the size of my world, and my friends aren't small. They care, and they should have called by now. I can't... Oh shit, my phone's off. I must have squeezed the power button. How long... Oh shit, that is a lot of text messages. And missed calls! And voicemails? Did they try to fax me too?
Perhaps they are the foundation you need for now.
Thank you for finding me, Nanny Karen. Talking me through this. I think I just needed someone detached to help me realize what I really need.
I cannot fight your battles for you, dear girl. But oh, how I wish I could. I will always be near to counsel you. In all the ways I am permitted.
You, barista boy, look at this picture. This girl, right now.
Hang on, I got this.
Where is she?
Nissa? Alfie?
Mac! Oof. Oh my god, Mac, what the actual hell? You weren't at the funeral, and you were gone, and you weren't answering your phone. And do you know how my brain works in these situations?
I thought we weren't the hugging type, Nissa.
Oh, shut up! Mac's alive in a bougie Barnes & Noble knockoff.
And not dead in a ditch, or kidnapped for ransom, or run away to join the circus.
What even?
Just isolating herself from her worried friends and family after a life-altering tragedy by sitting alone in the children's book section for 12 hours! Seriously, Mac!
I haven't been gone that long, and I wasn't alone... Where'd she go?
Who? Shaylee?
Shaylee? No, my nanny Karen, the one who used to babysit me. We were talking and... Wait, what about Shaylee?
Oh, we ran into her outside the cafe down the street when we were looking for you. Good thing, too, because she said she saw you in here earlier, but she had to run.
No, I didn't see her at all. I've been in here all day.
Hey! Quit eavesdropping, barista boy. Yes, she was in here all day without buying any of your overpriced hipster buzzword coffee. Maybe you should mind your own cold brew blonde roast. Now shoo.
Oh, Nissa, how I'll miss your sass.
We should shoo too. You missed the funeral, and Thomas has been really worried. We should get you back home.
Shit.
Thanks for the ride, Mr. Uberman. 5 stars! Okay, 4 stars, but only because he wouldn't stop talking about his screenplay. At least the chocolate mints were good.
You ate those? They could have been roofied.
Honestly, anyone willing to roofie a person who looks like me has enough problems in their life without my judgment.
I'm not sure this is the right time, but we should also discuss why you should never use the phrase Mr. Uberman again.
Nazis ruin everything.
McKenna? McKenna!
Yay, more hugs.
McKenna, God, I thought you were gone. I was so worried that something terrible had happened to you too that I was... Oh, I'm just so glad you're all right. What happened?
Thomas, maybe we should go inside.
Right. Oh, come on. I had Sam running every lead she could think of, but it was like you vanished into thin air. None of the officers patrolling the area even saw you leave this morning. With whatever attacked Mom and Dad on the loose, I guess my imagination ran a bit wild. Do you need me to get you anything? Water, tea, a blanket?
Thomas, I'm fine. You don't need to worry.
Don't need to? McKenna, you were missing for half the day. You weren't answering any of my calls.
It's not like we're always super chatty.
You missed our parents' funeral. What happened today?
I just couldn't go.
Couldn't go? You flaked out? Again? I took care of everything. Bore the burden of all of it so maybe it wouldn't drive you away. But when I need you to show up, for me, it's still too much?
Nissa, we should go.
Yeah.
Thank you both for finding her. For bringing her home.
Of course. Later, Thorns.
I'll talk to you later, Mac.
Yeah, bye.
The tension in the air is palpable, like a heavy quilt, handmade and slaved over, weighing you down until it smothers you out of the guilt you feel for thinking it's hideous.
Where were you, McKenna?
I went for a run. I'm sorry, I couldn't be there now with all those people. You know I couldn't.
Those people are our friends, our family. Okay, when I say family, I know they don't really come around often. But even they took the time to show up and support us.
Well, I didn't need their fake support. Never seeing them until there's drama. I'm sure you appreciated all their well wishes and sympathy repeated ad nauseum.
McKenna, I needed your support. You're the family I have left. And I needed you. I get that planning the funeral wasn't your thing. But today was so hard, and to do it without you. Where did you go? Please don't keep me out. Not now.
I ended up running to Beans and Books.
That place hasn't been condemned?
It's changed.
So I take it that it didn't give you the support you were looking for?
No, but Nanny Karen did.
You saw Karen?
Yeah, she found me. Sort of by accident, I think. Sat and talked with me practically the whole time I was there. It was nice to get a lot of things off my chest.
Things like what?
How I've been feeling about everything.
Things you won't share with me?
You're different. You're feeling things too. Normal things. You wouldn't understand.
But a crazy stranger would?
She's not a stranger, and don't call her crazy. She's just...
Strange. What do you even remember about her from when she used to babysit us?
I don't know. Fun stuff. Going out and being silly.
Man, she would take us to weird, isolated places. Make circles out of random junk. She left me behind at a nature preserve once because I wanted to follow a trail rather than sit and attend to the annular rhythm.
Oh no, one adult in the whole world who didn't treat you like you hung the moon.
Even in the best case scenario,
She's an overly attached, hermity spinster that doesn't understand societal norms or personal boundaries. She's not someone our parents should have ever let us associate with, let alone trust to watch over us.
Of course, the one person in our family who's kind to me, you consider too weird to function.
McKenna, she's not your family. I am. I am the only real family you have left, and you're mine. But you'd rather spend our most important day as siblings with our crazy old nanny.
Stop calling her crazy.
And still, your only interest is protecting her. You know, one day you'll actually be on your own. Completely.
That sounds lovely.
That's... honestly, that's exactly what I should expect. There are 7 casseroles in the fridge if you get hungry. I'll be in my room.
Oh, don't look so forlorn, McKenna. If you haven't gotten exactly what you deserve by now, I promise you soon will. Dayton Writers Movement presents The Hidden People. Executive producers, Chris Burnside and Megan Burnside. Producers, Alexa Fett Fisher, Stephen Kallenberg, and Jordan Lopez. The lead writer, Chris Burnside. Story by Anna Adamy, Chris Burnside, Megan Burnside, Alexa Fett Fisher, Stephen Kallenberg, Jordan Lopez, and Carrie Zahn. The sound engineer was Dan Sievers. Sound design, score, and original songs by Catherine Seaton. Theme song and additional music by Michael Yates. For more of The Hidden People, visit our website at hiddenpeoplepodcast.com.